By day, the storefront at 59 Hunter Street East plays host to local independent bookstore Take Cover Books. By night, however, the establishment turns into something else entirely. From book launches to film screenings to an anarchist reading group, Take Cover offers opportunities for local creatives and community members to use their space, often free of charge. Just this February, they hosted a three-day music and literature festival for the second year in a row. On April 15th, the shop once again opened its doors after hours to welcome Peter Burns to a film screening, this one celebrating both national artistic excellence and good work closer to home.
This is going to be the last plan you and I ever have to do. And as far as I'm concerned, Nirvana the Band is playing the Rivoli tonight.
That's the trailer for Nirvana the Band, the show, the movie, a 2026 Canadian feature film directed by Matt Johnson, who also directed and starred in Blackberry. Take Cover screened the film on April 15th in collaboration with Arthur, Trent University's independent student newspaper, as part of celebrations for National Canadian Film Day. However, rather than only screening the film, organizers David King and Andrew and Sean Fitzpatrick decided to leverage the opportunity to put some money to a good cause. CFFF spoke to Sean about Take Cover's involvement and the power of creating community and change through cinema.
Yeah, so in honor of Canadian Film Day, which was April 15th this year, we screened Nirvana the Band, the Show, the Movie, and we put up a $10 ticket price to raise proceeds for One City. All of the ticket price went to One City, so we managed to raise about like $500 for them, which is pretty incredible, given that it was like 5 days work that we announced it on Thursday, and we had to basically close ticketing on Monday.
One City is a registered charity that works to offer employment, housing, and social supports for those affected by the housing and homelessness crisis.
The germ of the idea came from Arthur editor-in-chief David King. So he came and said, I want to screen this movie, and then we were kind of just brainstorming, and we're like, hey, we could, you know, raise money for One City and do this as like an event, and then it kind of just became a thing.
Tell me a little bit about National Canadian Film Day.
Yeah, so I think it was initially developed like as a co-pro with Telefilm and like another organization. I cannot remember the name of it right now, but it was basically like promote Canadian film by having free screenings throughout Canada on this day. I think in 2025, it became a bit more of a political event, like an elbows up type event. And there was a lot of, messaging surrounding like support Canadian film. This is all of the homegrown talent that we have as opposed to the stuff that comes in from the States. As much as I have some mixed feelings about that type of messaging, it is really neat to see like 50 people come out on a Wednesday to support a good cause and also see like a niche Canadian film based on a web series and then a Viceland series from almost a decade ago. Like the fact that there are that many people that are willing on very short notice to do something like that is really cool.
So tell me a bit about this movie.
Nirvana the Band, the Show is this really weird hyper-local idea from Matt Johnson and Jay McCarroll, who would then, Matt Johnson would go on to make films like Operation Avalanche and Blackberry, and his profile has really risen over the past decade. But this was just a goofy idea about two guys who were kind of perpetual failures, and all they wanted to do is take their incredibly ill-conceived band to play the Rivoli, which if you know anything about the Rivoli, it's not that hard to get a gig at the Rivoli. So that whole idea is inherently hilarious, and the fact that they were able to make a movie that, you know, riffs on Back to the Future and has all of this time travel in it and contains a John Gomeshi jump scare. It's just one of those movies that's like, it's very fun and it is so incredibly Canadian that I think it was just a really neat thing to do.
For Fitzpatrick, community isn't just about hosting fun events such as these, but making sure that where possible, they give back to a good cause.
We try whenever we do like a special event or some sort of drive, whether that's like a raffle on Canadian Independent Bookstore Day or we've done several kind of mystery bags that we sell, like our damaged or advanced copies of books, and then donate the proceeds to One City. We just think One City does a lot of important work, especially in a city that is so hammered by the affordability crisis. And really, any dollar amount that we can give them, I think, would go a longer way. I just think they're a really important pillar of the community. And if we lost One City, then there would be a lot of people that would be affected by that.
Still, the future for One City is not entirely certain. As a result of changes to provincial funding, the organization has announced that its outreach program, which offers direct support for unhoused persons and those navigating the city's shelter system, will end in mid-May 2026. CFFF spoke to One City's fundraising and communications coordinator, Mackenzie Clark-Smith, on the importance of donations and fundraising to One City's operations, as well as how the organization is coping with the current changes to its financing.
Yeah. So funding It's complicated because from the outside, it looks like it's a small organization, but we have so many different programs that have different funding sources. So we get government funding at different levels, at the federal level for our reintegration programs. We get some federal funding for other like grants and things that projects that are happening. But then we also get municipal funding for Trinity, as that's run all through the Trinity programs run by municipal funding. And we did have provincial funding in the past and we don't have that currently. Hence why outreach is actually ending. That is one of the reasons, since provincial funding has moved from outreach to other priorities in other areas. But yeah, basically, most of our programs can either come from the government funding or they are made possible from donations and fundraising. So a lot of the time that includes grants that we apply for from different agencies like United Way, different government granting bodies, foundations. But basically, between those and then also like we seek funding from the community. We have lots of incredible donors. We have lots of monthly donors and lots of major donors and people who just donate, you know, at the holidays or whenever they can.
Given both the diversity and precarity of its many funding streams, One City has learned to be flexible in order to weather changing policy decisions. The imminent cessation of its direct outreach programming is simply the latest difficult decision that the organization has had to make.
Outreach, for a while, was funded through some provincial grants, and then in the last little while, it's also changed because United Way was funding some of outreach. And so I think just knowing, like in 2026, all these different funding sources have changed their priorities, and not in a bad way. And you know, different things need different funding, right? Like housing is a really big priority for a lot of organizations right now, which is great because we need housing. We are in a housing crisis. So having, you know, when those priorities change and when a program's relying on that kind of funding stream, that all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're going to fund something different. We kind of had to shift and pivot because it is really hard to find funding to support outreach, direct service outreach work.
Still, in a city as close-knit as Peterborough, Clark-Smith says there's a lot of strength in community.
Yeah, I think that is a nice part about Peterborough is that sometimes, you know, everyone makes jokes like everyone knows everyone and everyone's in everyone's business. And like, in a way that's like, I really like that aspect of the work that we do is that people do know One City, whether or not they think that we're doing good work or bad work, because that's obviously, some people aren't happy with the work that we're doing, but the relationships that we've built with different downtown businesses is amazing. We have made good relationships with different like local organizations and groups like church groups. And there's like a realtors group that's really supportive of us. There's small groups of people like teachers and other kinds of like small knit groups of, you know, like 5 to 10 people or little networks of organizations that support us. And it's really nice that we can kind of reach different audiences for different reasons too. You know, we kind of started like One City before it was One City, kind of came from, it has Anglican roots and it's in the churches. That's kind of how it started, was with lots of church supporters and church folks. So it's nice that we kind of still have our roots in those communities. And we still have lots of support from local churches. And then being downtown, of course, we have support from lots of great downtown businesses like Take Cover. They've been so supportive of us for the last Well, since they basically opened, I was just looking today to see all the different little fundraisers they've done for us and supported us at the holidays. They've supported us with their events like this one that just happened. So it's really important because it also shows, especially publicly, like knowing that, Takeover publicly said, hey, all our funds from this event are going to one city. I think that encourages other businesses and other organizations to also consider, oh, hey, where can my, if we have an event, could we pick an organization to send our money to? And I think that's really awesome. And without those pieces of support, it'd be really hard to do this work. Because we really just, I think the big part is needing lots of different voices to support the difficult work that's happening in the community.
Despite changes the organization has had to make in response to financial pressures, One City continues to focus on providing support to those affected by the housing crisis. Clark Smith says the organization has big plans for the rest of this year.
Basically, I think the goal this year is housing and buying more housing is really One City's goal. That's something that we've kind of identified in the last few years is like if we really want to help address the housing crisis, which is that there's a lack of stock of housing and there's a lack of affordable housing. Well, what we can do and what we have the capacity to do is to buy houses and then house people coming out of homelessness. We're actually hosting a housing event coming up on May 12th, and it's for community members, supporters, donors who are just interested in what housing looks like at One City, how we buy houses, what it looks like once we buy a house, what the housing support piece of it looks like, where we actually have folks who work with the individuals in the house and the residents once they've come out of homelessness to meet their goals, to get connected to, resources. So it's gonna be really exciting to have that event, to be able just to like have lots of different people in a room and kind of share what we're doing and see how different people can fit into it because it is a community effort.
That same idea of people sharing a room is something Takeover's Sean Fitzpatrick highlighted when I spoke to him.
Doing community work or our connection with the community, doing stuff like this is really fun. We typically see community building as doing like free events, right? Like hosting things, allowing people to put their art on, whatever that is, without having to rent the space. But this was like an added bonus where we could do something. We could host a film without necessarily making anybody pay for it, but then also using it as a way to drive donations toward a really good cause. So it was important to us.
One City's direct outreach programming will continue to run until approximately mid-May. The organization is also hosting Opening Doors, an information session on One City's housing strategy, on May 12th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Knights of Columbus, 317 Hunter Street West. Takeover Film Club meets on the second Wednesday of each month. Their next screening is Neptune Frost on May 13th at 8 p.m. A full list of events can be found at takeoverbooks.ca/events. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Evan Robbins on Trent Radio, CFFF in Peterborough.